Paul, kind of tell us a little bit about the fluoride gamble here.
Well, the fluoride gamble, in 1950, when the U.S. Public Health Service endorsed fluoridation, they had no health studies. The one single thing that they knew was that if you put fluoride in the water, you would increase the percentage of kids with dental fluorosis. Now, they also knew that that was a systemic effect. You had to ingest the fluoride to get dental fluorosis. It doesn't work on the outside of the tooth, unlike the benefits. You have to swallow it. And so you were essentially poisoning the growing tooth cells of the teeth. They knew that.
Right.
The gamble was that you could do that to the growing tooth cells without damaging any other cells of any other tissue in the body, the endocrine system, the brain, the bones, and so on. That was the gamble. And they've never really done the research in this country to test that gamble. And what the National Research Council did in their report, which was published in 2006, was they looked at studies done in other countries in these high endemic areas in China and India. And so there is no question now that fluoride is damaging other tissues. And the only issue from a scientific level on safety is there an adequate margin of safety between the levels that you are seeing damage to the brain, to the endocrine system, to the bones, and so on in these other countries, and the doses that we are getting drinking uncontrolled amounts of fluoridated water. And I would stake my professional reputation on the fact that there is not an adequate margin of safety to protect everyone. And essentially, if you read Chapter 2 of the National Research Council report, that's what they say too. They pull out subsets of the population who are currently exceeding acceptable doses of fluoride. And these include people that do a lot of manual labor, they're drinking a lot of water, maybe working outside, people with kidney dysfunction, people with diabetes, infants, bottle-fed babies, and so on. And it was that notion of bottle-fed babies which triggered the American Dental Association very late in the day to recommend to the parents not use fluoridated tap water to make up a baby formula. But again, that brings us back to the notion there are families in this country that cannot afford to go out and buy bottled water for that purpose. They're going to use tap water.
Exactly. And we cook with tap water, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing, too, I mean, we went through this 12 years ago when my wife discovered that our water was fluoridated. We tried to stop it. It took us 7.5 years before we got our village to stop fluoridating. But in that interim period, we would go out and buy these 5-gallon jugs of bottled water from the big store, a cooling tower. We used that water for cooking and for drinking. But we were still bathing in this stuff and hot showers and so on. In a bath, in a hot bath, your pores open, and it stands to reason that fluoride is going to get into your bloodstream through the bathing. The other thing, which
I'll give you an example of that.
Sorry?
When you're finished, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the last thing I was going to say is on this, what really upset my wife is she's a keen organic gardener. She hasn't put a speck of pesticide on her garden, on her vegetables, for 25 years. But she, every day, was watering her garden, her fruit and vegetables, with fluoridated tap water. And that was really upsetting for her, that she couldn't find a way out of it. We didn't have rainwater collection systems or anything like that. And then the other thing related to that is animals. We have very good documented evidence. There's a wonderful videotape out there called Poisoned Horses, which shows these quarter horses from Pagosa Springs in Colorado, lovely family, Kathy and Wayne Justice, who I've met personally and vouch for their credibility. Their horses were decimated by fluoridated water. And the trouble with animals, farm animals, most of them are getting water from lakes and streams and rivers and so on. But occasionally you get a situation where the public water supply is fed to the animals. and they drink a huge amount of water. I think a cow, a grazing cow, what's it, 55 gallons of water? They drink a huge amount of water. And this is very serious indeed. And not many farmers know about this situation, but at least that is, its situation with the horses is very well documented. And a lot of the health effects that those horses are experiencing are also experienced by human, by being experienced by human beings.
They're guinea pigs. They're tests for us.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. The animals are usually the canaries. They warn us that something is going wrong.
All right, Bill, go ahead.
Well, I have a friend who, Audrey, and she has an autistic son who's about 23 years of age. He's about 220 pounds, roughly 6 foot, big guy. He's been autistic all his life, well, after he got some vaccinations. And he has had terrible problems with chemical sensitivities. She's worked with him through special education, schools, all the rest of this for years now, and struggled with even the magic markers on the, that are used on the what we call blackboards, on the writing boards now, whiteboards, and any construction of the schools, any chemicals around, she had to get rid of these things. And even then, at night, he couldn't sleep, and he would pace up and down the floor screaming and yelling in pain. And big guy, and very sometimes threatening physically because he was in so much pain. And she's a small lady, and this was a real concern. And of course, both mom and dad and the sister were spending a tremendous amount of time trying to help this their brother, their son, and he was having real problems. Well, she found out from one friend about 2 years ago that maybe he was reacting to the fluoridated water. So she had gotten rid of all these other chemicals, and she said, okay, I'll give him some water, reverse osmosis, special water that she went and got and bought it. And he started to do better, quite a bit better. And that's when she started joining me and saying, we've got to get this fluoridation out of the water system because my son does so much better without fluoridated water. But he's not perfect. He's better, but he's still having some problems. About 3 months ago, a friend joined us. Her name was Linda, and she said to Audrey, you know, you need to see what happens when you get rid of his fluoridated baths that he's taking. She said, I find a real problem taking a bath in fluoridated water or taking a shower. And Audrey said, you know, I've done everything, but I hadn't thought about that. So she went home, and she had changed from giving her son a bath in the evenings, because at night he would have tremendous problems, to giving it a bath in the morning. He'd sleep better at night, but then during the day he had a little job that he was working at, and he couldn't go to work when she changed his bath in the morning. So then she took her bottled water that she was hauling to the house, and she put it on the stove, and she heated it up, and she started giving him baths, heating the water on the stove. Well, his he started to sleep, he started to be able to go out to work. Some people are so sensitive that the water that they're getting in their showers and in their baths does cause a problem. It's to those sensitive people. You know, I grew up in Africa, and over in Africa, we told the Africans to boil their water to make it safe. But
right.
You can't boil your water in the United States of America and make it safe from fluoride, because the fluoride doesn't boil off.